Good morning.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And we want to let you know that this service is part of a candlelighting service that we're doing virtually in Zoom. So if you have tuned into this earlier than 10:30, which I know many of you do, and want to be part of that, check your e-newsletter or your weekly update so you can be part of the live Zoom candlelighting service that we're doing today. And as always, we give thanks for all the wonderful donations you've been sending to support Unity Center of Light. If you're inspired by this service and you would like to donate, please check the Show More button right below if you're watching this on YouTube, and you'll see all the ways that you can give to Unity, and we are very appreciative of all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, December the 25th. The key word is Christmas, and the affirmation is, with joy, I welcome Christmas. Far from home, Luke's gospel story tells us Mary and Joseph welcomed a child with only a stable filled with animals as a birthing place and a feeding trough for a cradle. This story reminds me that no state of consciousness is too humble, no station in life is too lowly, and there is no fear that cannot give way to wonder. Wherever it finds a willing, welcoming heart, the Christ will be born. No matter how I am celebrating Christmas, I will carry this awareness with me. Today I feel the dawning of promise and potential in me as I feel the Christ presence within me afresh and anew. This is the greatest gift I could ever receive and the best gift I have to give. The scripture reading is taken from Luke 2:7, and it reads, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday Christmas message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today, wow, Christmas Day. How often does that happen where Christmas actually falls on a Sunday? And, you know, today we're going to talk about, the title, of course, is Welcoming the Birth of the Christ as Us. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the dynamics of Christianity and what it thinks about Christmas. And using language that you've already heard and know, we're going to expand on this idea of God was born as Jesus, or Jesus is God incarnate, and that's what we're celebrating on Christmas Day. And we're going to expand on that to help us understand the greater knowledge or wisdom that's behind that whole thought process. So from Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew, he wrote this. He said, "God, who knows no before or after, entered time and space. God, who knows no boundaries, took on the shocking confines of a baby's body and the ominous restraints of mortality." Okay, so this is the basis of the Christmas story, especially from a Christian standpoint. You know, the birth of a baby like no other baby born before or after. And yes, history does have history, and cultures, different cultures do have their own recorded miraculous virgin births, but none that have had the impact on humanity as did the birth of Jesus. So what we want to examine in this lesson is, was Jesus really God incarnated, God personified, God embodied in human form? And keep in your mind, remembering that we use that word God. I think the last couple of lessons I've talked about this, not to think about some, you know, man God who incarnated into, you know, the baby Jesus. Okay, we're talking about a universal spirit, universal consciousness. But before we embark on yet another mind-expanding or possibly mind-blowing journey, I want to emphasize a point that I've made several times before. It is important to our relationship as true students traveling this spiritual path together that we understand at no time am I ever teaching a principle or making a point in its finality. Everything we explore here is subject to future exploration and consideration. And in reality, this is how we should treat all teachings, all ideas and ideas and ideals provide us with a pattern for or direction towards which we can focus our thoughts. But no idea or ideal is ever final in its present state. Okay? And the dictionary uses the word ultimate in defining ideal. But an ideal only seems ultimate to us because it is hitting up against the outer boundaries of our present level of understanding and perceptual awareness. So as our understanding and perceptions are expanded by taking in newly discovered information, our ultimate understanding of the ideal being studied also expands, okay? So it's almost like what I used to tell my students when I was teaching at the college at the beginning of the semester. By the end of the semester, you will not be the same person you are sitting here today. I could say that to you also at the end of this lesson, you will not be the same person you were at the beginning, but I also can say that about myself and having to put these talks together and doing the research that when I finish putting a lesson together, I'm not the same person I was when I began putting that lesson together, if that makes sense, okay? So at any point in time, any information we receive has a possibility of being expanded upon if we will allow it, okay? And that's why my favorite affirmation is I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Because any truth we are studying always has more wisdom to give than we may presently be capable of understanding. Okay, so with that in mind, in this lesson, we're examining the basis of the idea behind Christmas. That being the idea that God, who knows no before or after, entered time and space. God, who knows no boundaries, took on the shocking confines of a baby's body and the ominous restraints of mortality, okay? So that is what we were told in our Christian upbringing. But the bigger question we're exploring in this lesson is why? Why did God enter into three-dimensional physicality in human form as the baby Jesus? And as we pursue this question, we want to be careful not to get caught up and trying to prove the unprovable to no avail, all right? So a more realistic pursuit for us might be to examine the obvious, which is Jesus was born. And then ask ourselves, what does that mean to me? See, whether Jesus was God incarnate or not, the fact still remains that he was born, and his life has had an impact on the lives of two-thirds of the people on the planet, okay? So therefore, the more obvious pursuit would be to examine the benefits of the fact that Jesus was born and lived and taught the deeper meaning of the kingdom of God. And then look at what would our lives be like if Jesus had not been born. Okay, think about that. So from one of the series of reference books, this is a series, I think I have 25 books in this series from Dr. Herbert Lockhart. And one of them, this is a comment that he made. It says, have you ever stopped to consider what life would be like had there been no first Christmas morn? The book of Revelation would have been without a climax. Prophecy would have been without fulfillment. Humanity would have been without an ideal, and people in despair would be without a savior. Eternity would be without hope, and the world without a song. Okay? So the birth of Jesus, it was sort of the focal point of the fulfillment of the many gaps in the human story and human condition. But before we go on, if we must have a, you know, if we must have a question, an answer to the question, why did Jesus enter into three-dimensional physicality? And if God did, why did God enter into human form as a helpless baby under such crude conditions? Okay. Well, one possible explanation for this is to, for us to contemplate and think about for ourselves is this. We can think about, well, how could God, who is all-powerful, know what it's like to suffer as I do? Okay, you've heard me say before that God says I'm omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. But how can I be omniscient, all-knowing, if I don't know what it's like to not be God? So that's what this is saying. How could God, who is all-powerful, know what it is like to suffer as I do? And this is what we're contemplating and thinking. How could God, who is magnificent beyond all comprehension, understand my human fears and pains? How could God be sympathetic to my needs when God has no idea what it's like to experience the trials and tribulations that I experience? Okay. So this is what we want to explore. In answer to the question, why did God enter into human form as the baby Jesus, could be that God heard the prayers and pleadings of the human race and thus answered the question of whether or not God loves us by entering into the and experiencing the human condition. Okay. And not majestically, okay, but simply in the body of a baby, as does every human being, okay? So in Philippians 2, 1 through 8, Paul shared with us his perception of the compassionate sacrifice the Creator made for its creation by teaching us through the Jesus incarnation. And this is what Paul said. He said, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive to love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he's saying, complete your joy by being of the same mind as Christ. So if any of those things are important to you, you complete your joy by being of the same mind as Christ, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit. Let each of us look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let us have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of humanity. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto death on the cross. Okay, so that's a lot. But the verse is, of course, is projecting the idea that Jesus, being conscious of his oneness with God, okay, emptied himself of that omnipresent awareness so that he could experience the trials and tribulations of the human existence. Okay? And his disciples a lot of times couldn't understand why he didn't lash out in certain situations, especially when this, you know, the soldiers came to grasp him and Peter wanted to pull his sword and Jesus was saying, no, you know, that's not the way we're going. All right. He allowed himself to go through the human condition. But we also know that Jesus came to remember that he once had pure existence with God. And he taught us that we also have pure existence with God. So for us and himself, he prayed as recorded in John 17, 4 through 5. Now, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. So now glorify me with your presence, with the glory I had with you before the world began. So in reality, we also have emptied ourselves of remembering who we really are. Let me say that again. In reality, we also have emptied ourselves of remembering who we really are and entered fully into the human experience. And just like Jesus, it is our work to remember who we really are. And in our striving to remember our own divinity, it's important to keep in mind that Jesus was born just like we were born, but with a distinct difference that he came to know and understand his divine nature. And to help us with our spiritual quest, the pursuit of this lesson is to evaluate and contemplate the idea that God incarnated in the person of Jesus, not just to experience a human condition, but to develop a way to show us that we also are God embodied in human form. So from a meta-spiritual perspective, every child is born, okay, is God embodied in a human form. Let me say that again. From a meta-spiritual perspective, every time a child is born, he or she is God embodied in human form. Think about how powerful that is. And it is possible that every child actually knows this, but over time, society manages to turn the child away from his or her innate spiritual nature. Because typically, most of us didn't grow up with this idea that we are God expressing, right? So Scripture explains that it was Jesus' mission to lead us out of the ignorance that creates human suffering by trying to awaken us to the truth about ourselves. And as we have said so many times before, awakening is something we must take the initiative to pursue. The divine power and presence that God is will not just wake us up against our will. So it seems that we must become conscious of wanting to wake up. And it is by way of our desire to awaken that divine guidance within us. That's where it comes from. We have to want that to happen. Okay, so Christmas is not just about the birth of the Christ child. Christmas is a reminder that just like Jesus did, we also must awaken to the Christ within us, awaken to the truth of our own being. Even if it takes a lifetime to wake up, it is still far better than living a lifetime not even knowing that you are asleep. So in the beginning of this lesson, we ask the question, what would it be like if Jesus had never been born? Think about that. What would it be like if Jesus had never been born? If Jesus or some historical phenomena like him had not occurred, we may not have a clue about the divinity within us. So the Christian movement, however, hopefully will eventually evolve beyond its present stage, where it endows its leaders with the sole privilege of contacting God. Christianity must evolve to a point where all of us come to realize that we are individually, collectively, and universally connected to and endowed with the power and presence of God. So Christmas is a reminder that it is our mission to discover the meaning of Jesus' teachings, which are hidden right inside of each one of us. And Jesus' birth put us on a quest to find out what this life experience is really all about. So all these years of celebrating Christmas, what we really have been celebrating is our own birthing, our own awakening, and did not even know it. So the continuous celebration of Christmas Day, like we're doing today, and year after year, is not about the celebration of a birth that occurred 2,000 years ago. That's not what we're really celebrating. But rather, it is a realization of the birth of the Christ ideal right inside each one of us. And I believe we must keep celebrating it year after year until Christmas becomes for us a season of transformation, so transformative that we move beyond the quality and quantity of the gifts we receive to the quality and quantity of the love that we can give, okay? So as you celebrate this Christmas season, take a moment every now and then to check your heart and mind for your readiness to receive the birth of the Christ child and to accept the responsibility of caring for it, nurturing it, and letting its presence grow within you the whole year through, not just Christmas or Christmas season. So in this coming year, make it your greatest resolution to dedicate time daily to prayer and meditation for the express purpose of bringing into your awareness that in truth, you are the Christ, the Son, the daughter of the living God. And so it is. And so now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let us rejoice on this, the birth of the Christ child within. We invite you to still your mind, quiet your heart, and open your spirit to the truth within you. Take a deep breath in and hold for a few moments. And then breathe out slowly and repeat. With each breath, release any tension or negative thoughts. You are centered, relaxed, and at peace as you focus on this intention. The joy of the Christ Spirit is with me always. Outer circumstances may affect my happiness, but joy lives within me. I am one with God, the divine presence, power, and principle, and joy is my natural state. The Christ presence within is a wellspring that renews and refreshes my spirit. Joy is with me always, steady as my heartbeat, constant as my breath. As I journey through life, I am willing to feel joy. I may encounter unexpected sadness, anger, or grief, but joy draws me upward and onward. Brief flashes of a gentle smile or a moment of laughter give way to growing acceptance. Quiet peace and lightening of spirit makes room for joy to unfold. Today, I choose joy. I choose to see and appreciate the simplest of blessings. My heart and my vision are attuned to witness the beauty of the birth. Centered in gratitude and filled with love, I am a presence of joy, thankful for the unending joy of spirit. I ask now that you join me for a brief time in the silence. This Christmas season, help us to simplify our activities and traditions so we can focus our celebration on the birth of the Christ within us. Thank you, God, for being the Prince of Peace, and we ask and give thanks for that supernatural peace to reign in our hearts. Thank you for the simple, life-changing message of your great love for us. In your name and nature, we say thank you, God, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah.
Nice Christmas message.
Thank you. So, this is the time we open our hearts and minds to acknowledge how the universe has been blessing us in so many ways. And it's really a time to be conscious of counting your blessings. I know a lot of times there are struggles and challenges that we have in our lives, and that's what we have a tendency to focus on. But if we really think about it, there are blessings that come in so many different ways in our lives. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to do a prosperity prayer, which is really acknowledging for ourselves and giving thanks for the blessings that come into our lives. So let's say that together.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen.
Amen.
And now let's think about being thankful for all the blessings that come into our spiritual home to support what our spiritual home does for us and help that work to continue. So, holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit. Let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, December the 25th. We are still open to your year-end giving to the Unity Center of Light, so please click the donate button in your e-newsletter for details. We have a lot of exciting things coming up in the new year, beginning with January the 1st with our virtual Burning Bowl service at 10:30 a.m. January the 8th, our Whitestone Sunday service with Michelle Senegal and musician Richard Hicks. January 15th, Paul Hasselbeck will join us again. He returns with his talk called Intention is Not Enough. He will follow the lesson with his Metaphysical Romp workshop. A deeper dive discussion group with Reverend Butch will begin on January the 18th from 7 p.m. to 8. That's every Wednesday for 5 weeks. And we ask you that you mark your calendars for these events. Thank you. I am complete.
All right. Okay, so
it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. And let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. So we ask that you if you can join us in the Zoom candlelighting service, if you've gotten this message early enough to do that. And otherwise, we wish you a happy, merry Christmas. Wow. And yeah, we will see you next week for New Year's, which is also going to be a virtual service. So have a wonderful week and a wonderful day today with your family. Okay,
bye-bye.